You are listening to the Makers Church podcast. For more information about our community, please visit makerschurch.org.
Good morning. Good morning. Yeah. Hello. Good morning. Hey, guys. I am so glad to be back. I know you missed me. Thank you. I know you noticed I was gone. I was not here last week. And I was really suffering for Jesus down in Mexico, this all-inclusive resort. You know, we were doing the Lord's work, I would just like to say. No, last week, my best friend in the entire world, Chelsea Hernandez, got married. So she is now Chelsea Conrady. You can congratulate her on the way out. But it was so awesome. Just getting to celebrate amazing love, like who in Mexico. But the best part was, I don't know if you guys know the secret. It's called an all-inclusive resort. I've been poor most of my life, so it's like, what's that? But these all-inclusive resorts are amazing. It's like 1 a.m. and you're like, chicken nachos? Yes, please. I think I will. Thank you. But it was so great because you can really have anything at any time. You know, and you want to like kind of push the limits, like how much will you let me have? Is it really unlimited? You know, and I'm saying, and I was like, I will have the shrimp cocktail, and the ceviche and the sea bass. And he's like, anything else? I'm like, yes, maybe, I don't know. Come back to me in 5 minutes. But it was awesome. Like unlimited seems like the ultimate kind of freedom, right? Like who doesn't love unlimited? Unlimited data. My husband has it. I don't. I'm super jealous all the time. Like how are you watching videos on your phone? You know, unlimited breadsticks. Oh, delicious. Unlimited chicken nachos. I mean, unlimited is just the best, right? Until you get back from vacation. And you feel like you need another vacation. You ever just like gone all out? You're like, let's just do this. And then the next day you're like, shouldn't have done that. That was a bad, bad choice. You just have all the options in the world, but you kind of just wish somebody would pick for you. That's how I feel nowadays with like Netflix. I'm like, I don't know what to watch. Just tell me what to watch. You know, I'm like, I don't want 100 menu items. Just tell, like, what's your best thing? I want that. You know, sometimes it's so hard because I get anxiety. Like, what if I choose the wrong thing? What if I devote 2 hours of my life to this Netflix show that I don't even like? Or I pick the wrong taco, or I do the wrong workout at the gym and my legs get bigger and these tree trunks don't need any more help, you know? And I get all this anxiety of like, would somebody just tell me what I want? Like, somebody just tell me what to do. Ever found yourself there? Like, you pick. I don't even care. Until they pick the wrong thing, and you're like, just kidding, I do care. But this happens all the time, and I think our hearts are so much the same way, right? We don't always know what we want. Scripture says that our hearts are deceitful above all else. You know what my heart says? Every single day, California burritos, great idea. But I know deep down, despite what my husband might tell me, that is not a good idea because my heart is a liar. And so I need somebody to say, hey, here's what to do. Here's the best way to live. Here is a foolproof plan to get the results that you want. Right? And that's what this series is all about. We're in week 3 of this series called Blueprint, Plans for a Healthy Heart. Week 1, I got to kick it off when we talked about wisdom. Right? It was so awesome to talk about how our hearts need an ancient wisdom that's been here since the beginning. And last week when I was suffering for Jesus in Mexico, Pastor Derek gave a beautiful talk about vulnerability. And this week, I am so excited to talk to you about boundaries. Exactly. Yeah. Who doesn't love boundaries, right? I know. Like the air just got sucked out of this room. You're like, is it too late to leave? If we get up and walk out, will she see us? Yes, the lights are up. I can see all of you. Stay. It's going to be fine, I promise. But I love boundaries. I think they're essential for our hearts. Our hearts need them. We need boundaries to be fully alive. And so that's what we're going to dive into today. So turn to your neighbor, just tell them you need some boundaries. Maybe it's like actual physical boundaries, you know? You're like, you can scoot over, but. Anybody else ever been through a rebellious phase? Yeah, I grew up a pastor's kid, so I had a rebellious phase like every week. I was like, what am I? I'm not going to bring my Bible to church, Mom. It's not going to happen. No, I was a really, really good kid for the most part. And I hit a rebellious stage, though, around like 17, because I was just tired of being, you know, so normal. So I was like, I got to edge it up a little bit. You know, I had this really long, blonde, gorgeous hair. Just imagine this, but like a lot longer. And I went on a mission trip where most rebellions happen on mission trips. And I went on a mission trip to Thailand. And I came and I was there and I was like, you know what? I'm going to get plugs, like little, you know, ear extension. I'm going to do it on the airplane. That's a good idea. And then I got there and I met this friend, Abigail. And Abigail was like, you know what we should do? We should cut our hair. And I was like, yes, that is a great idea. So we cut our hair. But not only did we just, I mean, like chopped. Anybody else have the duck butt where you like hold the scissors and you cut your own hair? And you're like, this is a good idea. It wasn't a good idea. But I had like chopped my hair off. And then I was like, you know what? This isn't edgy enough. I'm going to dye it. So I dyed my beautiful long blonde hair red and black. And I came home from my mission trip and I was like, Mom, hello. And she was like, oh my gosh, what happened? What have you done? And I was like, oh, my mom doesn't like this. Great. I love this. Right? Because it is within our DNA and our nature to rebel. Right? Somebody's like, don't do that. You're like, I'm going to do it. Somebody's like, no, you shouldn't eat that. That's all I can think about eating. That's why diets don't work, because you're like, don't eat bread. And all I'm like, day and night, bread. I love you. They're like, yeah, you shouldn't date that person. I'm like, too late, we're already married. Sorry. Not my husband, like the other guy, you know, it's fine. I love you. I'm sorry. But we hate having limits and boundaries placed upon our freedom. And I think the problem is that we see boundaries as the things that actually limit our freedom instead of the things that actually are meant to set us free. There's a study in 2006 done on children and how they would relate to boundaries. And so they did this study where they put one of those like jungle gyms in the middle of a field and they released these kids and they said, go play. All of the kids flooded to the jungle gym. Every single one of them. They said that they didn't walk more than about 5 to 10 feet away from the jungle gym at any given point. And all of them just huddled around this jungle gym. Take the kids out. Next day they come in and they set up a big perimeter fence around this jungle gym. And it was amazing what they found when they released kids to go back out and to play. They said that every single one of the kids would run up at one point to the fence. They would go all the way to the edge of the boundary. And I thought, wow, that is fascinating. Is it possible that having incredibly clear, unmovable boundaries actually makes us more free? That's weird though. Doesn't that just like contradict the very nature of boundaries and laws? Those are the things that are supposed to keep us in and keep us from things. But this study kind of shows that like boundaries are actually the very things that can set us free, that allow us to go past what we would have done on our own. See, boundaries are not the enemy of our freedom. In Galatians 5:1, it says, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. See, boundaries are not the enemy of our freedom. We are actually the enemy of our own freedom. We're the ones that take that yoke and put it back on us, that like to remain in slavery. And the fascinating thing about Jesus is he didn't come so that we could just be really good law followers, right? Jesus didn't come so we could just follow all of the rules and do all the things and then be free. He actually came to just set us free. But we're the ones that live in the old expectations and our old way of thinking. And I think this morning, if you get nothing else from this, I just want to throw out this idea that maybe there's a new way. Maybe like Pastor Mark said, there's a new way of encountering this scripture, of seeing something that we've seen before, but in a different light. And so we're going to jump into Romans 7. Romans 7, if you have your scriptures with you, we're going to be in Romans 7 today, and it says, so, my brothers and sisters, You also died to the law through the body of Christ, that you might belong to another, to him who was raised from the dead, in order that we might bear fruit for God. For when we were in the realm of the flesh, the sinful passions aroused by the law were at work in us, so that we bore fruit for death. But now, and this is the most important part, it says, but now, by dying to what once bound us, we have been released from the law so that we serve in the new way of the Spirit and not in the old way of the written code. I love this verse. He says, we die to what once bound us. Those old boundaries, those things that held us back, we actually die to those things. And as I was reading this, that phrase, the new way of the Spirit, it intrigued me so much. You ever look for a new way to do something? Maybe a better question is, have you ever felt stuck? Like you're just doing the same thing over and over and over and nothing changes. See, you and me, when we feel that way, we're not alone. And actually, the very next verses in this letter that Paul is writing address that very thing. So when your response is, okay, there's a new way, great, but I don't feel that, I feel stuck. Romans 7, 15 through 20, Paul says this, I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. For I know the good itself does not dwell in me, that is in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. Paul sounds a lot like a lot of us, right? Can't really tell what he's saying. Trying to make a point. That's like me when I get frustrated. I'm like, I don't know. It's not the thing, and I don't. He's like, I don't know. Like, the thing I want to do, I don't do it. And the thing I don't want to do, I do it. And there's like sin in me, but I know that there's not. And I'm not bound to the law because I have this new way of living. But even then, like, I still feel like I can't do the thing that I want to do. You ever felt like that? Just like, oh, man, shouldn't have done that. Didn't want to do that. Did it anyway. I don't understand what I do. He's like, I don't get it. I know that I'm not supposed to do this, but I do it anyway. And the thing I'm supposed to do, I don't do. That's anxiety at its finest, right? That is not the way that God has intended for you and for I to live. 2 Corinthians 3:17 says, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And so when Paul is proposing that we die to the things that once bound us, that there's a new way of living in the Spirit, and he says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom, then why are so many of us stuck in the old way? I want to propose something. Just hear me out. I don't think that most of us struggle to live within our boundaries. I think that most of us don't understand how to live in freedom. See, there is a power when we have the Spirit of God that allows us this freedom. And I think for most of us, we don't know what to do with that freedom. We like rules. We like structure. Anybody else like consistency, work, you like to know what's happening. You can raise your hand nice and high so I don't feel alone. Thank you. Yeah. If you know me at all, you know I like to be productive. I like to stay busy. I pride myself on doing a lot of things and having a lot on my plate. It makes me feel good about myself. And I just love to pack things in. I mean, I spend almost 2 whole years waking up at 4 a.m. to go work out before work. You know, just so I didn't have to do it later. But I loved it. I'd pack it all in, you know, feel like 3:30, who's with me? Made me feel good, like being super productive and doing all of these things. And then I met my husband. And I'm not it's not that Drew doesn't have a good work ethic. My husband has a phenomenal work ethic, but I will never forget our first Saturday that we spent together. And I was like, okay, 6 a.m., time to mow the lawn. You know, this is what we do with our lives. And Drew's like, I like to sleep in on Saturdays. I was like, I'm sorry, what? You sleep in? Are we toddlers? Like, who sleeps in? Well, I guess toddlers don't really sleep in. What are we, teenagers? Like, who sleeps in? You know, I was like, no, babe, we got things to do. The farmer's market is prime at 8 a.m. We need to be there. And then we hit the dog park. And then we go do the weeds. And then we do this and we do this. And he was like, yeah, I like sleep. I was like, oh. So, of course, I went to my counselor and I talked to her about it because I needed somebody to tell me that my husband was wrong and I was right. And I went and I sat down with my counselor and I was expressing to her our different expectations, you know, for what we do when we're not working. And I told her, I said, yeah, like my husband likes to take naps and he likes to rest on the weekend. And I just, you know, and she goes, so what I'm hearing you say is that Drew has really good boundaries with self-care and you don't. And I was like, he's never let me live that one down. And I was like, you're fired, next. Has anybody ever told you something and you never forgot that moment? I will never forget that moment sitting there. And she said that to me. And it was like everything I had known, every structure I had constructed, every idea of the what was right and what was wrong, like completely shifted in my mind. I was like, wait, he has good boundaries? Because he likes self-care? And I don't? And it... to be honest, like, it is something I still really struggle with. And I'll tell my husband, like, I'm really sorry. Like, it's just for years and years, I have this old way of thinking. Like, our family prides itself on being productive and working hard. And don't mishear me. There is nothing wrong with having a good work ethic. There's nothing wrong with working hard and doing the work. But I think the problem comes when we feel like we have to do it to find our worth. I shouldn't have to work for my worth, right? I shouldn't feel bad about taking a day off, right? On a Saturday to do whatever I want to do or to do nothing, but I still struggle with it. Like, she said it to me and I was like, I think that's truth. And then I'm like, I don't know what to do. Like, I know I should take a nap, but I feel bad if I take a nap, but I don't know. I feel like Paul, right? I'm like, and then I read Psalm 127 and what I love about the scriptures, I've been a Christian most of my life. My dad was a pastor. I was raised in the church. I've read the Bible more times than I can count. And every single time I find something new. Every single time. And I'm reading Psalm 127. It says, it is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil. For he gives to his beloved sleep. Dang it. It's like, there's just some things you can't unread, God. What do you mean it's in vain that I go to bed late and I get up early and I'm anxious all the time? You want me to take a nap? See, I think some of us need better boundaries, not to do more, but we need better boundaries to like do less, go sleep, take a nap, relax a little bit, right? This is the new way. We don't have to work for our worth. We don't have to work for our salvation. There's not a checklist where we go, okay, if I do enough good things, God will love me. If I just check off all these Christian boxes, then we'll be good. So we got this new way in the spirit, but it begs the question, like, okay, then what boundaries should we have? How do we know? What are the good boundaries to set up if it's not supposed to be this checklist of things that we do all the time? And this is one of my favorite verses in all of scripture about boundaries. It's Proverbs 22:28. Proverbs 22 is 30 sayings of the wise. And this is the fifth one. It says, do not move an ancient boundary stone set up by your ancestors. There's about four other places in scripture where this is stated. Do not move an ancient boundary stone. I love this idea because it kind of harkens back to what I talked about in week one about wisdom being this ancient tradition rooted in what has been true from the very beginning of creation. And when I read this and it says, do not move an ancient boundary stone, I think what God is calling us to is to be unmovable in the things that have been true from the beginning. Those boundary lines that have been laid out for us by our ancestors, the things that we should want and do. He says, don't move the ancient boundary stones. When you go back to the beginning, when you strip it all down, don't negotiate on those things. That's some wisdom right there. You ever made a list of like things you want? Right, when I was in eighth grade, I actually wrote it down. I had a bucket list and then I found it. And I was like, number 75, I'm not going skydiving. I hate heights. I had no idea what I was doing in eighth grade writing. I should not be writing my bucket list in eighth grade. You know, I'm like, get an apartment. Great, I've had 12. Check. You know, it's awesome. But a lot of times we create these lists and it's our ideals of the things that we want, the things that we're hoping to attain. Right, when I was dating, it was like, he's got to be funny, and he's got to cook, and he's got to do this, and it was, I mean, the list was exhaustive. I didn't know what was on that list. It shifted, and it changed with whatever I was feeling in that moment, whatever new band I was listening to. I'm like, then he has to be a drummer. No, just wait, a singer. No, just kidding, a guitar player, right? And then I got a little older, and I got, a lot older, and a little bit wiser. And before I met my husband, I remember vividly sitting down and I was like, this list is dumb. It means nothing. It's all these things that I think will make our relationship good, and I don't even know if that's true. And so I sat down and I did this and I was like, what's like the real thing? What's the truth that has been true, the ancient truth, the boundary stone from the beginning? What is the one thing? And I came up with it. And my one requirement for whoever I was going to date and marry was that every single person in my life needed to say yes. Do you know how hard it is to get everybody in your life to say yes to one person? It was months of anxiety. Every time Drew would meet people, I was like, oh God, please love him. Please love him. I think I do too. And I need Mark to like him, and he's got to have that competitive edge, right? Because if he's not competitive, he's not making it through Mark Wallace and I, right? Because we've got this competitive thing going, right? And if he doesn't love Jesus, he's not making it past you guys, right? And if he isn't like at least a little bit sarcastic, he's not making it past my sister Corey. And you know, all of these check marks, like if he doesn't love me, all of my friends are going to let me know. And I thought, that's the truth. Every failed relationship I had in the past, it was because like what I wanted changed based off of who they were. And I thought, no, this is the one thing. This is the boundary line that I know that I can draw that will take care of everything. And I think sometimes the problem is that our boundaries are just too small. Our boundaries are too small. We make these exhaustive little checklists. Here's the 80 things I need to do. Here's the 20 things that this person needs to bring to the table. And I know probably what you're thinking, like, so less boundaries is better? How is that possible, right? Isn't the whole Bible just a list of rules of what you can do and cannot do? Like, it doesn't make any sense that having larger, unmovable boundaries actually makes us more free. How do we get more freedom from something that cannot be moved? I don't know if you've ever worked in a cubicle. My husband did at his last job. And I remember one day he came up to me and he was not happy because people were ambushing him. And I was like, babe, that's just extroverts. They want to like say hi to you. It's fine. Just ignore them. They'll find somebody else to talk to. But it was so uncomfortable because he went from having a nice office with four secure walls and a door he could close to being in this cubicle in this open space where anybody could come at any time, where he could just be moved to a new area at any given moment. And I thought, wow, there is something so profound in this truth that we pull from this, is that there is no safety or freedom in something that is so easily movable and changeable. See, we find freedom in things that are secure and things that don't change, like God. Scripture says he never changes. Me? I change every day. I might start really good. I'm a perpetual boundary mover, right? I'm like every single day working out. Let's go. I get my new shoes. I get my outfits. I got my protein shakes, you know? And then by like week two, I'm like, five times a week is good. You know, let's just like have some, okay, five. Five is great. Gonna get yoked. And then a month goes by and I'm like, three actually they say is much better because you need a day to recover, you know? And then it's like, oh, the gym and I have bad boundaries, so we're taking a break from each other. I was working out too much. I was getting too big. So I just gotta like, you know, tone it down. Every day I'm changing. Right? Or you start real strong, like, we're not sleeping together until we get married. And then it's, we're not sleeping together until we get engaged. Or maybe it's until we're exclusive. Or until he says, I love you. Or basically, if he just looks at me. How much can we get away with and still be Christians, right? I mean, for most of us, our boundaries change all the time. And I don't know about you, but I'm exhausted of coming up with excuses for why I've changed my boundaries. I'm tired of always having to explain to people why that thing I said 2 weeks ago, yeah, we're not doing that anymore. And I thought, what would happen if we actually got out of this small way of living and actually stepped into a new way of the Spirit that brought freedom? If you struggle with your boundaries, I have a new one for you. It's real big. You're gonna like this. You ready? Don't do anything in private that you wouldn't be willing to do in public. Well, that takes care of sleeping with my boyfriend, binge eating pizza at 1 a.m., binge watching Netflix, being mean to people, right? Never do something to somebody else that you wouldn't want your mother to know about. I have a great story about that one. Terrified me. Come find me at LifeTrack after, I'll tell you about it. That is a massive boundary. That is one thing. But how different would your life and my life be if I said, you know what? Whatever I do, I don't want to ever have to hide it from anybody. It's one thing to remember. How much freedom is there in that? I don't care who I date, as long as every single person in my life says yes. Right? See, Jesus came and he actually wanted to free us. He didn't come to give us more boundaries. He came to set us free, and he removed all of the laws. He fulfilled them and said, do this one thing. One large, massive boundary for us to live in so that we could explore and expand the limits of our freedoms. And he says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. That's the new way. It doesn't matter how often you go to church. It doesn't matter how often you read the Bible. It doesn't matter what you're doing with your friends or on a Friday night or what you're eating. He says, will you love me with all of your heart and all of your soul and all of your mind? See, I think the problem is that most of us can't answer yes to that. Most of us, through our lives and our actions, don't love the Lord with all of our hearts and our souls. In our minds. And so we use our man-made boundaries as a substitute for devotion and obedience. We try and check all the boxes. But it's easier to live that way, but you won't be more free, right? It's easier to say, I'm not going to eat bread. Then to say, you know what? My body is a temple and every single thing that I put in it, I want to treat it as such. It's easier if you have challenges with family relationships to say, you know what? I'm going to call my mom twice a week. Call my dad once a year. Right? It's easier to do that than to say, with everything I do, I want to honor my father and my mother. And the way that I treat them and the way that I relate to them. It's easier to make small boundaries for ourselves than I think to actually live in this freedom that God offers us in His Spirit. I'm not saying that having big boundaries is easier. Trust me. In a lot of ways, it's a lot harder. It's a lot harder when we evaluate everything that we do against truth that's been there from the beginning. But I promise you that living in this new way, that living in a space where we are no longer bound to what held us before, but we step in to this new way of the Spirit, this freedom, it will be so much more free for you. No, it will not be easy. It's not going to be easy to every time you put something in your body to think, am I honoring this temple? It's a lot easier to just go, I don't eat gluten. It is a lot harder when you're sitting there and you're hanging out with your boyfriend to go, how would I feel if my dad was here right now? That is not fun. Nobody wants to think about that. But I promise you that that way of thinking, of having and enlarging and expanding our boundaries will actually set you free if you let it. There's less anxiety, there's less fear, there's less shifting and changing. And I think that's why when Jesus came, He fulfilled the law for us so that we could stop trying to check off all of the boxes that we thought would make us good. And so that we could truly live in this new freedom that brings us healthy hearts. And my wish, my prayer, my hope for you today is that as we sing this next song, and you're already here, so you might as well just do it. I won't give you homework. I know I'm an English teacher, but it's like, take the weekend off, relax, take a nap, rest. I know, I'm gonna hear that one later. The Lord gives His beloved sleep. But my hope and my prayer is that you would take a look at the plans that you've set in place, right? The blueprint that you have for your life and your heart, and begin to ask the question, have I made it too small? Is this really freedom? The Spirit of the Lord is there is freedom. And do I feel like I'm living in freedom? And if you're not, do what I did and sit down and say, God, what is the one thing? What is that one thing that has been true the whole time that if I could just focus on that one thing, I know my heart would come fully alive. So you bow your heads with me. We're gonna pray and I hope that this morning has been as challenging for you as it was for me. I hope that God is, even as we sit here, just bringing to mind spaces where you have experienced such bondage, such captivity, such disappointment, such pain, such frustration. And that even as you're calling those things to mind, that He would begin to reveal to you a new way. See, I can't tell you what your new way is. I think that's what the beauty is of the Holy Spirit, that He speaks uniquely to each of our hearts. But when you hear it, you'll know it. And my hope and my prayer is that before you even leave this space today, you would begin to just ask that question, God, what is that ancient boundary stone, that one thing that you ask of me.
You are listening to the Makers Church podcast. For more information about our community, please visit makerschurch.org.